I guarantee it. You say, but you guarantee that every week. I do. I believe this stuff. I believe this stuff. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come. And Lord, I come with confidence because it's your word that I'm preaching. It's your word that I'm teaching. And I have your promise that your word will never return void. It's going to go out and it's going to really accomplish what you want it to accomplish. It might say something to our neighbor different than it says to us, but it's always going to hit the target. And so we come with expectation this morning. We say, Lord, let me have it. Lord, Lord, will your word come and just hit me in that place, Lord. But when you bring it, Lord, you never bring it with a mean spirit. You never come and squash us. You never come and condemn us. There's one that does that, but it's not you. Lord, but you lovingly, Lord, draw us to you. And that's what you're going to do this morning. You're going to lovingly draw us to you. And you're going to give us that desire to want more of you and more of what you offer in the name of Jesus. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Go ahead and turn to Acts 19. We're going to end up there eventually. We've been going through the book of Acts in a series called Unstoppable. It's called Unstoppable because the church is really unstoppable through, you know, generation after generation, century after century, very powerful people and armies have tried to stop the church. And guess what? We're still here. Amen. And we'll continue to be here until Jesus takes us home. You can be convinced of that. And so that's why we titled it Unstoppable. Well, in Acts 19, we see the Apostle Paul, who's the leader in the church at this time. And he's doing these missionary journeys. He's going out throughout Asia and other parts of the Roman Empire, proclaiming the gospel, letting people know about Jesus and what Jesus did. In Acts 19, he travels to the city of Ephesus. City of Ephesus was a coastal town. It would be what we would call, I think, modern-day Western Turkey. It was in the coast. Now, if you go there and you look at the ruins, it's actually now like 5 miles inland, and it's because sediment comes and the coastal really map changes a little bit. But Ephesus in its day was one of the amazing cities of the world. It was the center of a lot of travel, a lot of commerce. There was three major roads that went through there. So ideas came through there. Commerce came through there. An amazing place, but also it was a place that was saturated with the occult. In fact, they took pride that they had a temple there to a false goddess. All the goddesses are false, if you didn't know that. There's only one true God. Everything else is false. There's usually a demon entity behind it. No different here. The false goddess Artemis, also known like false goddess Diana, is another name that went by. And scholars aren't sure what this goddess was all about. They figure it was maybe the goddess of fertility or something. But they really took pride in this. In fact, they had built this huge temple to this goddess Artemis. Huge. It was considered, I think, one of like the seven wonders of the world in that day. It was really the size of maybe, if you look at a high school football stadium, about that big. That's pretty good size for that day. Today, it's in ruins. All that's left is maybe one pillar that they put together. So if you see a picture of it, you see this one pillar. It's kind of sad. But there's only one thing that's going to stand, and that's Jesus. Amen. And everything else will be made to bow. So the Apostle Paul, he knows the reputation of Ephesus. He knows that it's a dark place. But the Apostle Paul, when he looked at a dark place, he saw great opportunity. He would look at Vegas and say, man, I'm going to Vegas because there's opportunity there. He would look at San Francisco, at Rio de Janeiro. He would look at New York. He would look at all these other places, New Orleans, places that we would say, man, there's some stuff going on in those cities. The Apostle Paul, that's where he would go. That's where he would go because there would be opportunity to bring people out of darkness into light. And so he goes to Ephesus. And when he gets into Ephesus, it's kind of interesting. He meets some disciples. And these disciples, they really don't know much about the Holy Spirit, which is interesting. When you read it at first, you're thinking, that's kind of funny. These guys don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. But as a pastor, I see that even today, believers are deficient or ignorant about the Holy Spirit. We're very familiar with God the Father. We're familiar with God the Son. But when it comes to God the Holy Spirit, we're like, not sure where I stand there. That's why I titled my sermon today, "What Holy Spirit?" See, because when I go and talk to believers and I begin to ask them questions about the Holy Spirit, that they're not much different than these disciples that the Apostle Paul ran into. Francis Chan, author, well-known author, speaker, pastor, he wrote this book called The Forgotten God about God the Holy Spirit. It's kind of interesting. Forgotten God. And this book is written to believers. But this is what Francis Chan says. He says, "The world is not moved by love or action that are of human creation." In other words, if it's of human creation, big deal. Anybody can do that. It's great that we go and feed the homeless, but that, in many ways, anybody can do that. Now, when we minister the gospel, that's a whole different thing. When we pray and see God move in people's lives, that's a whole different thing. But he says anything that is of human origin is no big deal because the world can do the same thing. It says, and the church is not empowered to live differently, and the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence of their lives is supernatural. If the church is not moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, if the church is not moving in the supernatural, we're not much different than the Rotary Club. We really aren't. We might think we are, but we're not. We might as well call ourselves East River Rotary or something, right? But what makes us unique is the power of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural realm. Francis Chan goes on, he says this. He says, the church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but notice. When the church is moving in the supernatural realm, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, people will take notice. They'll notice. I can spot a believer that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. I can spot him a mile away. And you should be accusable of being a believer at work. Someone should say, I know you're a believer. You're spooky, right? You're spooky. There's just something about you. You pray and God moved. You pray and there's answers to your prayer. You have insight that nobody else has insight. You understand the signs of the times. You understand the world in which we live in. When you read the news, you have a different take on what's going on. See, that's all supernatural. That's how we understand it. So I begin by asking this morning, why is it important for us to be familiar with the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit? Why is it so important that we are? And I'm going to look at four different things from the portion of Scripture that we're going to start at, because the Holy Spirit has been given to us. The Holy Spirit has been given to the church, the greatest gift that we could receive. But for most people, they're neutral. They're stuck in neutral. My desire today is to get you out of neutral. In fact, I was only planning to do 1 week, but I think I'm going to do several weeks on this regarding the Holy Spirit. So let's get ourselves to Acts 19, beginning with verse 1. Once again, the Apostle Paul is in his third missionary journey. And it says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. Now, Apollos was previously in Ephesus. So now he's gone to Corinth. So in a sense, they miss each other, right? So it says, so while Apollos was in Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, now there's a question, some people question this, were they really Christians? Well, it's calling them disciples, right? And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you what? Believed. So he's not only calling them disciples, he's calling them believers, right? Maybe their understanding of the gospel was a little bit deficient. Maybe the understanding of the gospel was a little bit naive or whatever, but they're referred to as disciples or really as believers too. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to them, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. They're like, Holy Spirit, what? And yet, a lot of us in that same place right now, like, Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you four things as the reason we need to be familiar with the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit. Here's the first one. Here we go. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us boldness to proclaim Jesus. You're like, well, I've got boldness. Well, let me test your boldness. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you told someone about Jesus? Let's cut to the chase, right? Cut to the chase. Let's not mess around. I only got 30 minutes. When's the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? to hear 10 minutes ago. That's good, man. That's good, Mike. Yes. He's fast. But you know what? There's a study that I read, and I've read several of these studies, and it's kind of disturbing to me. And the study was of believers. And here's the study. They asked believers how many people they've led to the Lord. And the interesting thing is that most believers in their lifetime don't even lead one person to Jesus. Not one. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? That didn't Jesus in Matthew 28, before he left and went back to the right hand of the Father, didn't he give us an assignment? Didn't he give us a job? And the job and the assignment, he says, go make what? Disciples of all nations. That's our one job. Here's a job. He says, here's the job description, Keely. Right? Here's the job description, Daniel. Right? Go make disciples of all nations. Lead people to me. And yet, somehow, people are living a life as believers and not even leading one person to the Lord. What's missing? I believe it's the Holy Spirit that's missing. The fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what is missing in our life. Think about it this way. Say you were at work. Mike, you work at Intel, right? When you go to a place of work, they give you an assignment. This is your job, right? You work for Nike. They give you an assignment. This is your job. Can you imagine being there 40 years and never fulfilling what they ask you to do? And you're like, man, I can't wait to retire, you know? I'm like, what? We're not going to give you retirement because you didn't do anything for 40 years. In fact, you would only last 1 week. If you didn't do what you were told to do, you would only last 1 week. But yet somehow we think that we can be believers for 40 years and not do the very thing Jesus asked us to do. But not this church. Amen? Not this church. We're going to be like Mike, man. We're going to be like Mike. We're going to tell people about Jesus. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that enables us. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to witness. It's the Holy Spirit that will give you the desire in the first place. If you lack desire, ask the Holy Spirit to give you desire. He'll give you desire. He'll give you courage. Because sometimes our hands get a little clammy. Like, we're like, man, I'm afraid to tell this barista about Jesus because they may kill me. I mean, what are we afraid of? In America especially. I mean, I could understand if you're nervous about telling somebody in Iran about Jesus because you might die. You might be in prison. But we live in America. We live in America. We shouldn't be afraid, but somehow the enemy's got in our head. Right? He's got us all nervous. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us, to empower us, to give us that courage. And I know it's the Holy Spirit that does it. You know how I know? Look at the life of the disciples. Right? There was 12, and then there ended up with 11, and then they ended up with 12 again. But remember, when Jesus was led away, did they hang in there with him? No. They all abandoned him, denied him. We're out of here. The cost is getting too high. Right? They denied him. Man, they're real bold. No, they weren't. Right? No, they weren't. And so they deny him, but yet several days later, they're proclaiming him to the whole world. In fact, they go out and they turn the world upside down. What happened? Did they go to Bible college? Did they go to seminary? No. What happened? You read Acts 2 and you find out what happened. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon the church. It came upon the disciples and the followers of Jesus, and they were forever changed. Those that denied him now were so bold they would even pay for the life of proclaiming the gospel. They would pay their very life just to do that. And most of them did. Crazy. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that gave them that boldness. In our day, too many believers lack that boldness to proclaim Jesus. We need to be filled to such a level that we cannot be stopped. We cannot be embarrassed. We cannot be intimidated to be quiet at all. It's the Holy Spirit that's a missing element. He'll give us boldness. I'm going to give you two names. Write these names down. You can go home today or maybe tonight and YouTube these two guys. First guy's name is Todd White, and the other guy's name is Ray Comfort. Todd White, Ray Comfort. You can go do YouTube. And these guys are street preachers. They go out and do some miraculous stuff. And I don't want you to get stuck on their technique or anything. See, they're both, the reason I'm giving you two, they approach it totally different. Two different approaches. But guess what? They're relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to go out in the streets and to share the gospel. And sometimes they're sharing, you know, sharing the gospel and people don't want to hear it. That's okay. Right? We bring good news. If somebody doesn't want to hear good news, okay, that's okay. No. At least we did our part. We brought the good news. So I want to encourage you to see what it looks like when the boldness, when the Holy Spirit is on you and the boldness that comes from that. Here's the second thing about the Holy Spirit. Not only will He give us the boldness that we need to proclaim Jesus, but the Holy Spirit will also comfort us in our struggles. Anybody besides me goes through struggles? Like in the last year, has anybody here gone through struggles? Good, good. The rest of you, what'd you do? Stay home? I mean, life has struggles, right? So what do you do when life brings struggles? And it will bring struggles. John 14, 26 tells us that. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, but the helper, right, the comforter, the aid giver, right, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. Now, sometimes in our struggles, we don't know the right thing to do. We're like, man, just everything has just almost like fallen apart. What do I do? Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will tell you. He will teach you in all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. That's why it's important that you read this holy book. Because what will happen is the Holy Spirit will bring it up just when you need it. You're like, whoa, I thought I'd forgotten that verse. Oh, no, it was back there. Right? And the Holy Spirit will make the connection for you. So when the Holy Spirit, when struggles come, the Holy Spirit will give us comfort. See, you and I as Americans, we've been trained differently. We've been trained to respond to struggles differently than what Jesus is talking about. See, you and I were trained by Rambo. You and I were trained by Iron Man. You and I were trained by Captain America. And so as Americans, when we see a challenge or a struggle, what we do, we just, you know, put our head down and we just, you know, right? That's the way we're trained. And you know, for a lot of stuff, it does work. But for a lot of stuff, it doesn't. I mean, as a pastor, I go visit people in the hospital that are on their deathbed, right? I go visit people in the hospital that are fighting for their very life. Rambo doesn't work for that. Captain America doesn't work for that. Iron Man? No. Right? Personally, I'm into the Incredibles. You know, I like those guys. Yeah. That's what happens when you have grandkids. Yes, grandkids. But it doesn't work for a lot of things. And so we need the comforter. And I would encourage you, get used to going to the comforter now. Don't wait until you're on your deathbed. Don't wait until it all begins to fall apart. God will be there. All we do is call upon Him. But my encouragement to you is get in the habit of going to the comforter all the time. So if you're here this morning, maybe you're struggling physically, go to the comforter. Maybe you're emotionally, man, you're just frail. You're just, you know, life is beating the snot out of you. You need to go to the comforter. Maybe spiritually, you just feel like things are getting dark upon you. You need to go to the comforter. See, even in the midst of a storm, He can give you the peace and the comfort that you need. He'll do that. He'll assist you. He'll carry you if He must. He'll deliver you. But even in the midst of the storm, He'll give you peace. And that's all we want, right? Yeah, it'd be nice if the storm went away. But if there's a storm going on and it's not touching you, let it keep storming. It's not touching me. I'm indoors now. It's called the Holy Spirit. And He'll do that. But there are those times when He'll assist you. He'll tell you what the next direction you need to do. How do you get yourself out of this mess? Because a lot of messes we make ourselves. Can I get an amen? Okay. Not always. Just 99.9% of the time. You know, a perfect illustration of the comfort of the Holy Spirit is in Acts 7. Stephen, the first martyr in the church in Acts 7. This is a young guy. Right? A young guy. He was a young deacon in the church. But I tell you what, this guy's pretty impressive because you see the the preaching that he did. He talks about really Jewish history and how God was involved. And then he puts it together on how Jesus is involved. I mean, he does better than the rabbi. This guy had an understanding of how God has worked from the very beginning. How do you understand this? Once again, the Holy Spirit. And so he begins proclaiming this stuff, and people don't like it. And so they go crazy. They go sideways because, once again, he convicts them. And so they start picking up stones, and they start stoning him. They start stoning him. And in the midst of the stoning, he has a presence of mind to pray. In fact, he says, forgive them. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Megan, that's pretty impressive. He's a young man. You know what I would do? I'd say Pastor Ken would be there, right? He'd do that. Anybody else here? I don't know. Let me see. Who else is brawlers around here? Yeah, good. Angel raises her hand. Good job, Angel. I know what I would do. If stones come my way, man, I'd gather. I'm thinking I'm taking a few with me, right? I mean, you might take me, but I'm taking five of you guys with me, right? I know myself, but that's not what Stephen did. It's not what he did. Lord, forgive him. Don't hold this against him. I'm like, man, how is it possible? Well, you know what? Once again, when Stephen was selected to be a deacon, it was said this, go find men full of the what? Holy Spirit. That's the difference. That's the only way you'll ever be able to do that, is by the power of the Holy Spirit, who's able to comfort you even when people are stoning you. He was full of the Holy Spirit. So not only does the Holy Spirit give us boldness to proclaim Jesus, not only does the Holy Spirit comfort us in our struggle, but also the third thing is that the Holy Spirit helps in our communication with the Father. Now, this is important because I think this applies to a bunch of us. The Holy Spirit helps in our communication with the Father. How many of you would say, you know what, I got that praying down good. I'm a good prayer. When I pray, heaven opens. When I pray, the angels start singing, right? Well, heaven stops. I'm like, whoa, right? Whoa, right? No, most of us, we would say, you know what, this praying thing, I could do a little bit better. I could do a little bit better. Well, Romans 8, 26, 27 is good news. Talks about the Spirit. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. So if you would say, I'm kind of weak in the way I pray. So good news. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For, here's an example, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought. So there are those times, man, I don't know what to pray. My kid's going wild. You know, what do I pray? My wife's going wild. What do I pray? Oh, she's in the room. You know, I mean, sometimes we just don't know what we pray. Lord, what am I dealing with? Yeah, I know. I'm living dangerously this morning. But it says, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. He prays in our behalf. I may not know what's going on, but the Holy Spirit knows. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered in words. Now, sometimes people say, well, is it the Holy Spirit that's doing the groaning or us? It doesn't matter, right? The key is that the intercession is happening. I think it's both. Sometimes you there is almost like an inner groaning. You're like, my relative is just, he's addicted to drugs. I really don't know how to pray effectively. It's okay. The Lord, once again, we can see that through the Holy Spirit, knows what you want. So, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he, the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, right? In harmony with the will of God. Really what he's saying is this, that the Holy Spirit has a direct pipeline to the Father, that the Holy Spirit hits the target every time on our behalf. See, sometimes we think we gotta have a formula prayer. We got to pray just right, get the right formula. And while effective prayer is effective, you don't need a formula. We should know how to pray, but even if you don't think, oh man, the reason this didn't happen was because I didn't get the formula right. Don't carry that burden on you. Understand that the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. In fact, Scripture says that Jesus also intercedes for you. See, a lot of times we don't know how to pray. And in fact, I'm gonna give you a pointer. This one's for free, right? I'm giving you this one for free. But I can spot someone that's nervous when they pray. They don't say like like a speaker. When a speaker's nervous, he usually uses the word But when someone prays, a lot of times what they do, they when they're nervous or they have a little a little, you know, a little space they throw in the name of Jesus or Lord or Father or Spirit or, I mean, they do that. If you take our discipleship program, you'll understand what we teach them. That says, you when you pray, you address the Father. And say, remember the disciples come to Jesus and say, teach us how to pray. I say, okay. So if anybody knows how to pray, it should be Jesus. And what does he say? This is the way you should pray. Our Father. Because that's who you pray to. Because sometimes people, I mean, they're like doing shotgun prayers. Okay, Father, Lord, you know, Jesus, whoever, you know, they're trying to... And so they I'm just being honest, right? Sometimes we're taught wrong. Sometimes we're taught wrong, so I'm teaching you right. Okay, you address the Father, and you got only you don't you just need to address him one time. I mean, wouldn't it be weird if I'm talking to Mike, right? And I say, hey Mike, I was wondering, Mike, Mr. Carnahan, I was wondering if we could go down to, you know, Mike. I was just thinking, you're like, oh my gosh, he must like my name. Or he's hoping not to forget my name or something. And yet, we sometimes, that's the way we pray. And my and I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not making fun of you much, right? I mean, I'm not making, I'm just trying to teach you to discipline yourself. Address the Father and then just talk to him. That's all I'm saying, just talk to him. It's not wrong. If you don't get there, don't worry about it. I'm trying to just, you know, teach you a little something here, okay? So the Holy Spirit, he's interceding for us. That's great news. He sees the inner turmoil. He knows what I want. He knows, Lord, I just want to be closer to you. He knows that. I can tell him that, but he knows that. He knows I want my children to be on fire for him. He knows that. And so guess what? They're going to be on fire because the Holy Spirit is interceding. Jesus is interceding. They might as well just give up now. Amen. They might as well just give up now. He's doing that. I think the closest that we get to hitting the target is when we use our prayer language. I'm going to talk about that in the weeks to come. Like, what's that all about? I'm going to demystify it. A lot of people are like, whoa, I'm not sure about that. I'm going to teach you from the Word. Amen. So not only does the Spirit give us the boldness to proclaim Jesus, not only does the Holy Spirit comfort us in our struggle, not only does the Holy Spirit help in our communication with the Father by interceding. Here's number four, and this is an important one right here. The Spirit also helps us bury the old nature. The old nature, that stinking old nature that wants to keep coming up. You know how I view the old nature, right? That old you, that old attitude, that old way of thinking, you know, that old addiction, that old just stinking thing. You know how I view it? Like a beach volleyball. You know, one of those big old volleyball or balls, right? Beach balls, right? I usually don't play with that. I'm a man. I don't play beach balls. But you know, you sometimes if you get in the pool with, I know, if you get in the pool with one of those, well, I've seen people do this because once again, I'm a man. I don't play with things like that. But if you get in the pool and you see these guys, they take one of these beach balls, you know, and they push it under the water. And then what happens? It comes back up. That's really kind of the old nature. Right? You sometimes just want to pop it, you know, let it stay there. I'm going to teach you how to pop it, because look at Romans 8:13. Tells us, for if you live according to the flesh, right, the dictates of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, right, if you're just trying to push that sucker down, right, you will die. It's going to kill you spiritually, ultimately. Spiritually, it'll bring you to that place. But here's the good news. But if by the Spirit or by the power of the Spirit, or if you're empowered by the Spirit, or if you're relying on the Holy Spirit, but if by the Spirit you put to death, you bury the deeds of the body. That's what he's saying. He said, if this thing keeps popping up, if the addiction keeps coming up, if the attitudes keep coming up, he's telling you how you kill that thing, how you bury it once and for all. You bury it by walking in the power of the Spirit. See, if you're just, oh man, I'm just going to, Captain America, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to give a shield up, you know, whatever, you know, you do. Right? You know what's going to happen? You're going to be like a guy trying to quit smoking, right? Like, man, okay, I'm not going to do it no more. And by 10 o'clock, you're like, yeah, right? Like, yeah. It's no different because you cannot do it. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can kill it. It's what you need to rely on. So the Holy Spirit helps us bury our old nature, that old life. See, I can spot a believer that's not relying on the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because they're still living like the old life. They still look like the old life. They still live and look like that old life. Yeah, they call themselves believers, but it's like there's no difference. See, you can go find my old buddies, the guys I was grew up with, the people I hung out with, and you could describe them to me, and they wouldn't understand who you're talking about. Like, oh, wait, what? See, they knew me this way, and I'm no longer that way. That guy's dead. I live differently. And that's the way it should be. People should be able to accuse you of being a follower of Jesus Christ, and you should be convictable. If they take you to court and you're found not guilty, that's not good. There's no evidence. No, there should be evidence. Love and all those kind of things should be there. The power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the way he works with me a lot of times is this, that what he does is he convicts us. Right? He convicts us when we're about to do something wrong. When I'm about to do something wrong, I know it's hard for you to believe, but when I want to do something wrong, right, the Holy Spirit begins inside of me to jump up and down. Called conviction of the Holy Spirit. He's like, I wouldn't do that if I was you. Yeah. Or maybe it's my wife that I hear. This whole time I thought it was the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Man, can we say amen? Amen, amen. Yeah. Which one is it? But, yeah, it's the Holy Spirit in her. You're right, the Holy Spirit in her. See, but the Holy Spirit helps me know right from wrong. And he begins to convict me when I'm thinking about doing wrong. All right, so I need the Holy Spirit. I need him. Galatians 5, the latter part of Galatians 5 talks about that, about walking in the Spirit. It's an important part of Scripture. You can look at it. I'm sure we will in the next weeks to come. So I want to close with this. Just kind of to wet your whistle for the next weeks. And that is this. So why, if the Holy Spirit is important to believers' life, how do we walk in the fullness? In the fullness. How do we keep ourselves from being in neutral regarding the Holy Spirit? How do we go from just drinking a little bit about the Holy Spirit to being splashed and in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? I'm gonna talk about that, about how do you get yourself immersed in the Holy Spirit. And like most things in the Scripture, it's really by faith. It's by asking the Holy Spirit. It's by receiving. It's by walking by faith. It's by moving. You got to ask the Lord, and he'll give you these things. It's there for us. You know, between now and the next few weeks, as you're reading in the Scriptures, anywhere it mentions the role in ministry of the Holy Spirit, make a little note. You can highlight it or make a little note, and then you're going to see how important the role of the Holy Spirit is in believers. Amen? Amen. Everybody up. Let's worship the Lord. Let's